Hi, I'm Tim Marshall. Welcome to R&B Showcase, a very special edition. We are honoring the life and legacy of Philadelphia radio icon, the legendary Geeta with the heater, the big boss with the hot sauce. And of course, helping us to join in on this event to honor Jerry Blavitt is my special guest co-host joining us here in the studio. We got Jammin' Jeff Wyman, radio host.
Thank you very much, Tim. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here with us again. And of course, we got the Philadelphia radio legend, Mr. Tommy McCarthy.
Hey, Tim. Studio. Always a pleasure to hang out with you, my man. Great to see you.
Great to see you as well. And joining us online is a Philadelphia radio and TV personality. We have with us Jason Lee. How you doing, Jason?
Doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me. Jam and Jeff, good to see you. And it is always good to be on any broadcast with Tommy McCarthy.
Absolutely. I'm glad to have you both. I'm glad to be all with us here today to honor Jerry Blavitt. And of course, his book is called You Only Rock Once. And Jerry Blavitt was certainly a one-of-a-kind DJ, not just a radio host and a DJ, but a personality and what he brought to Philadelphia. And everybody all over Philadelphia loved him. And you saw him on some of the parades and all the special events and the dances and the TV shows and the PBS tapings in Pittsburgh. And I mean, the man was just everywhere. And of course, the nightclub owner, entrepreneur, the legendary Geeta with the heater, Jerry Blavitt. And we got you all here. We're going to all talk about and share some history with Jerry. Of course, he started on the original bandstand back in 1953, it was, with Bob Horn, and got his start in radio, WCAU in Camden, and various other radio stations. And of course, everybody knows that he was also on television. He was on The Tonight Show and The Monkees and The Mod Squad and various other television shows. He was quite a personality. I know all of you have gotten a chance. We've all met him before, but you've all got a chance to know him in different aspects. And one thing, having Jason Lee here with us, Jason, I got to tell you, man, hearing that voice of yours, I can't only go back to, Jeff, you remember this, Jason the Music Mason.
And you know, it's funny, Tim, I watched the show you did with Tommy about, what, a month and a half, 2 months ago, mm-hmm. and I was shocked that you said to him, you mentioned me, mm-hmm. and I wasn't sure if anybody remembered Jason the Music Mason. I haven't used that name since 1994. Mm-hmm. Jerry gave me that name. And you know, with Jerry, everything had to rhyme. Geeta mm-hmm. with the heater, mm-hmm. Jason the Music Mason.
Mm-hmm. And when we hear that, when I heard the voice, I heard you were on other stations in Philadelphia. You were on quite a number of stations in Philadelphia. And every time I heard that voice, I said, I know that voice. You know, and I kept thinking, that sounded like the same guy that was on PGR. I guess it was Geeta Gold Radio.
It was Geeta Gold Radio. Mm-hmm. I was there from 92 to 94, and it was my first job. Jerry gave me my first job. He launched my career. I will always be grateful to the guy. And it was such a great place for me because it was just the guys that were there, the Geeta and guys like Bob Charger and Andy Volvo, Armin in the Morning, mm-hmm. they all taught me the business, and they mm-hmm. taught me really well. Jimmy D, the Cannonball, I mean, mm-hmm. the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm. You were all part of that. Now you worked with Tommy McCarthy. Did you guys work at the station at the same time? It was the same radio station, right?
Unfortunately, I never worked with Tommy, but I'd love to one day. Mm-hmm.
Give us some history on that station, though. That was a very special radio station.
It was.
Tell us about that.
It was the original call letters were WRCP. It was country originally. And then they decided in 81 to flip to an oldies format because they were going to hire Hi-Lit. So in 1982, Heiske goes on the radio, and the rest of the time they were just playing music, but it was Hi-Lit doing the midday shift. So I got a call. I was on the radio in Atlantic City at the time on WMID doing a Sunday night show on the FM, which was WGRF, which stood for Merv Griffin. Merv Griffin owned the radio station at that time in Atlantic City, WMID with WGRF as the FM. So I'm on MID during the day and GRF Sunday nights from 6 to midnight doing my quote-unquote treasure chest of oldies show. So I got a call one night. And it was Tony Mann. Tony Mann used to be a disc jockey on WFIL, and he was now the operations manager at WSNI, which was the FM of WPGR. So he called me. He says, you know, I've been listening to you. I come down to Atlantic City a lot. He used to like to gamble. So he would come down on Sunday nights. And he said, on my ride down, when I would start to pick up this station, I would listen to you on my ride. He says, we just decided to hire Hi-Lit. And we need some, you know, good personalities to work around him, people who know the music. So that's how I originally got hired there. And then they changed the call letters to WRCP, or from WRCP to WPGR in 82. So I worked there from 82 until 90. And there was me and High. And then in 86, Harvey Holiday joined us. Mm-hmm. And in April of 87, Jerry Blavitt. Was hired. Mm-hmm. So from 87 until 90, High was doing from 10 until, let me see if I got this right. No, High was coming on from 9 until noon. I was doing from noon until 2, and Jerry came on from 2 until 4:30 at that time because it was a daytime station. Mm-hmm. So they kept adjusting our times, but it was High was on first, then me in the middle. In the middle of those mm-hmm. two, can you imagine mm-hmm. saying good morning to Heisky and mm-hmm. saying, and then the Geeters mm-hmm. following me. So mm-hmm. from a guy who listened to those two mm-hmm. guys as a teenager, mm-hmm. I'm still in school when I'm listening to High on Wibbage and mm-hmm. Jerry on WCAM and then mm-hmm. later WHAT. Mm-hmm. And now I'm the guy in the middle of these two mm-hmm. giants. I mean, mm-hmm. that was quite a time for me in my career. Mm-hmm. So I was there until 90. And then, of course, Jason, he can pick it up from there. He came in a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Now, did Jerry stay after?
Yeah, Jerry stayed. And the station was still called Philly Gold Radio when I left. That's mm-hmm. what the PGR stood for, Philly Gold Radio. Mm-hmm. Then later, after I had left and gone for initially to WIOQ, Solid Gold 102, mm-hmm. and then later I moved on to Oldies 98, WOGL. In the meantime, I guess maybe Jason might know even better. Mm-hmm. When did they originally stop calling it Philly Gold and call it Geeter Gold? That mm-hmm. may be about when you were hired, right?
It was a little before I was hired. So Pyramid Broadcasting, which owned, as you said, Tommy, WSNI and WPGR, they sold PGR off to a group called All Star Radio. They moved the station out of One Ballot Plaza. We had a little place on Monument Road, just down the road from Channel 10, ironically down the road from Oldies 98. So it was around that time is when they changed it to Geeter Gold Radio. I started there as an intern in May of 92, and it was already Geeter Gold Radio. The offices were on Monument Road, but the studio was still at One Ballot Plaza. So I was going to One Ballot every day with Armin and Bob Charger and all those guys. Mm-hmm. Then they eventually moved us to Monument Road. But so it became Geeter Gold Radio, I want to say sometime in early 1992. I began as an intern in May, interned for 5-6 months, and then the Geeter, God love him, saw something in me, and he put me on the air in October of 92. October 3rd, 1992 was my very first show. So this past October was 30 years in broadcasting mm-hmm. for me. And to me, I owe it all to Jerry Blavitt. I don't know where my career would have been without him. Mm-hmm. But at that point, it was Armin in the morning. Bob Charger did midday. Jerry did afternoon. I did evening. I came on at 6 o'clock after Jerry. Then at one point, Bob Charger left. Andy Volvo, who was doing weekends, Andy Volvo did middays. Who did we had? The Cannonball did weekends. We had Kevin Fennessy with us for a little while on weekends. Randy Kotz. It was a good air staff. Mm-hmm. It was a talented air staff.
Sally Starr was there too, wasn't she? Sally Starr there for a while?
Oh my gosh, how could I forget Sally Starr? You're right. Yeah. She did a country gold show Sundays mm-hmm. from 10 to 1 with Andy. I followed her at 1 o'clock.
Wow.
So it's that's like, cool. here Very I am. Cool. I mean, I'm working with Jerry Blavitt. I'm working with Sally Starr. And then toward the, I guess maybe the last year or so of the station, Jerry hired Georgie Woods to be our morning guy. Mm-hmm. So Georgie did 6 to 9, then Armin did 9 to noon. Mm-hmm. So Georgie did mornings for a while, but then Georgie was on in the evening and Armin went back to the morning. Mm-hmm. And then I guess 95, maybe May or June of 95 is when the station went off the air.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you guys, was Lou Costello a part of that, all that formation as well at mm-hmm. one time at PGR?
I never worked with Lou. No. Tommy?
He never worked at WPGR.
He's the VLT, okay. isn't he?
No.
Right.
He's the VLT. WVLT, mm-hmm. right. Yeah. No, he was never in Philly mm-hmm. on that station.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jason, you were on. So how long were you at that station at Philly, at Geeter Gold?
So I began there as an intern in May of 92, went on mm-hmm. the air in October of 92. I left in December of 94. I got an opportunity with B101. And okay. I figured, I mean, it's B101 was one of the top stations in the mm-hmm. market. I was on mainly overnight at the time, but still, it's a big station. Yeah, but I will tell you, mm-hmm. I really missed PGR because at B101, and listen, and I spent 20 years of my life at B101. Mm-hmm. I love that station. Mm-hmm. When I first started at B101, it was less talk to the nth degree. I mean, mm-hmm. we were card readers. Mm-hmm. So I missed being able to be a personality. Now, they eventually loosened the reins a little bit at B101, mm-hmm. but still, I was kind of spoiled at my very first radio job where I can go on the air and be myself because, mm-hmm. as Tommy can tell you, that doesn't happen anymore today.
No, not right. like that. Did you ever do Atlantic City Market? That's where I was at AYV some years ago. You ever did that market, didn't you, Tommy?
Oh, Atlantic yeah. City? Yeah, well, of course. Mm-hmm. Like I said, WMID mm-hmm. and the FM was WGRF. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was still owned by Merv Griffin, which okay. was exciting. Hey, I'm working for a station with Merv
cool.
Griffin. You know, this is really the big time. Really... And the format was Top 40. It was mm-hmm. really based on either WABC or Wibbage in Philadelphia. It was a Top 40-driven radio station. So that was exciting on the AM. And then, like I said, Sunday nights, I did my Treasure Chest of Oldies show, which was all oldies. Mm-hmm. And so while I was down there in 80, I was there from 80 to 84, even though in 82, I started working at PGR. I was still doing both at the time because originally at PGR, I was doing weekends. And then in about a year later, I went to Following Highlight Every Day mm-hmm. because I didn't want to get, I was so busy in Atlantic City doing nightclub work. I was working for Jury actually from 1980 to 84 at Memories in Margate.
Oh, wow.
Back
okay.
in those days, Memories was open, believe it or not, year round. Mm-hmm. And I did a Thursday night, even in the winter time. And mm-hmm. we still had locals, you know, coming mm-hmm. in. We still did pretty good. And then on the weekends, Friday and Saturday, I would spin for him.
Okay.
And then, but things just developed in my career. I started mm-hmm. getting a lot of offers to do weddings, class reunions, mm-hmm. bar mitzvahs, you name it. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot more money mm-hmm. out there doing things like that. Mm-hmm. So, and then, of course, with my exposure on PGR with next to High Lit, mm-hmm. it really got good. So then my whole career shifted to the Philadelphia market at that time. And mm-hmm. of course, Jerry and I stayed friendly all through those years. We would see each other occasionally at benefits or something of that nature. But one of my favorite things of memory is back in 2016, I was inducted into the Broadcast Pioneers Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank mm-hmm. you. But at that exact same ceremony, Jury was also honored as the person of the year. Mm. So here it is, like I said, going back to the reflections of me and a kid listening on my transistor radio to him on WCAM in Camden back in the 60s. And now here we're both getting honored by the Broadcast Pioneers on the same mm-hmm. night for different awards, but it's the same thing. We're sitting there. So things like that were really exciting. Mm-hmm. And plus, I spent 4 years at WCAM from 76 to 80 before I went to Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. So I actually sat in the exact same chair, the same turntables, the same microphone that he sat at mm-hmm. when I was a teenager.
Now,
I
mean, there was a lot of similarity. Where is that station located? WCAM, is that in Camden?
Yes.
Is that the same TMR? Is that the same station?
No, they were okay. two different.
That was a TMR, too.
Yeah, that was 800 mm-hmm. on the dial. CAM okay. was 1310.
1310, okay.
Yeah, TMR studios were on Mount Ephraim
yep,
Avenue.
That's where we were.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
and that was a standalone building. Nice yeah. little place, you yeah. know. But CAM was on the 18th floor of City Hall, right behind the clock.
Okay.
Anytime you go over the bridge and you look over mm-hmm. at Camden City Hall and you look mm-hmm. up at the clock, mm-hmm. right behind that is where the studios were.
Okay.
There was no windows there. There mm-hmm. is a balcony you could come out. We used to love to come out and look at the balcony and look at the lights of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I remember times in between a record or two, I might go out and just to look at the skyline at night. And I used to say, one of these days I'm going to be across the Delaware there working in Philadelphia.
mm-hmm.
And then, so here we are many years later mm-hmm. at 4th and Market. Me and Harvey Holiday mm-hmm. and High Lit, we're at 4th awesome. And 4th mm-hmm. and Market, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from that window, we were on the 8th floor at 4th and Market. And from one of the windows, we were on a corner there. You could look over and see CAM, you could see mm-hmm. City Hall in Philadelphia. So I say, look at this, Jerry. Mm-hmm. I finally got my dream after yeah. all these years. I'm looking back at CAM back in the 70s. I was looking this way. So mm-hmm. it was really a lot of funny things when you think about when you have a long career, as mm-hmm. Jason can attest to that. There's all these things that conflict and they come in and out of your life and your mm-hmm. career, people you get to meet, you work with, you don't see them over a few years. And when you see them again, it's like your long lost brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
exactly.
You know, you embrace them that way.
And radio is a very small world, is it not, Tommy?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yes, without a doubt.
Everybody knows everybody in this business. Yeah. You know? Right. When you talked about the clubs, though, you talked about Memories in Margate. He had a Memories West, the Hollering Plaza in Pensauken. You ever worked that gig?
I remember that.
I worked with that a short time, but I did work there. Mm-hmm. He also had one on Chestnut Street at, I forget what corner it was, but on Chestnut Street, it was called Memories West, he called it.
Right.
And then after that, closed down. That only lasted about a year. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's the club he was in when, remember the last broadcast of Wibbage, when Wibbage went off the air in 77?
Yes.
Okay. So that he was, that last week they hired Jerry and he came in and he did his nightclub gig following High Lit at 6 o'clock, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it from Memories West, which was on Chestnut Street at that time, 77. Okay. So I think it was like the next year, like maybe 78, that the Pensauken Club opened because he left Center City.
That's where I learned how to do Soul City Walk at that. Me and my girlfriend used to do it all the time. He had a name for everybody too. Peaches, here come Peaches and Herb. You know, he used to call us that, you know.
Well, but he would do that. Mm-hmm. You know what? I say the thing, when you say the phrase, nothing but stars, right? I just said that. Well, here's how that started, because when he would do his live broadcast from Memories in Margate and other places too, but it was a live broadcast, he would give people, anybody that had the slightest resemblance to somebody who may be famous, right, he would give them the name, like what did he call you when we
were Peaches and Herb.
Okay, you and your wife, I guess?
My girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he would see people and he'd say, like, if you came in, here's a funny one. If you came in, because a lot of people did not come in suits and ties and that dressed at the nightclubs. Mm-hmm. But anytime a man would come in with, say, a coat and a tie on, he would call them Senator. Hey, Senator, the Senator is here today. Hello, Mr. Senator. So people are listening and they think like all these dignitaries are coming. So he would say, he would call, there was one lady in particular, he called her Betty Davis. And then there's another woman, he called her Gaga for Lady Gaga. He just called her Gaga. So there's a funny story there. There's this one guy, he was calling her Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson's here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So there's this woman listening to Memories in Margate at the time, and she hears him a couple of times through the night saying, Mel Gibson's here. So she gets in her car and she drives to Memories, and she comes in and she walks up to Jerry and says, Jerry, where's Mel Gibson? And he points over to the bar area and says, oh, he's sitting over there. So she goes over and look, and she says, where's this Mel Gibson? And the guy turns around, well, that's me. He says, you're not Mel Gibson. He says, I know, but Jerry's been calling me that all night.
And he would remember. And then when you see you next time, he would remember who you were and call you. He never forgot anyone.
No,
he didn't. He always remembered.
Would, well, here's the other thing. If he remembered your name, he would always remember your name. If he was a little cloudy on your name, you were always my man, Pots and Pans. You know, so that way, I remember your face, but not your name. So you're my man, Pots and Pans. That he was doing that. And then, of course, in our teenage years, all the guys were coyotes and the girls were Amazons and foxes.
That.
Right?
You almost forgot about that. I remember now.
Well, the Dream Lovers song, Amazons and Coyotes, was made because of his phrasing. He used to call all the teenage guys coyotes. The Amazons and coyotes are here tonight. And the Amazons usually were a taller woman, and the foxes were like a shorter woman. So he would call the foxes and the coyotes and the Amazons are all here tonight. So he always made up names for... That's how he was. That's
the best
how he
part
was.
About him, though. He had not just, you know, older people. He had teenagers. I mean, his Memories clubs. I mean, he had all ages that would come to see this man entertain with the crowd. You know,
because he was a Philly classic. You know, he's a
legend.
He had the one of the openings of his radio show that he used for many years was like cheesesteaks, Philly pretzels in the Geeter. It's like tasty cakes in the Geeter. It's like, you know, it's like they are Philadelphia. And he's going to be sorely missed because love him or hate him, because some people would say, well, he talks through all the records and all that.
That's okay. Keep talking.
Everybody knew him.
Yep.
And there was always, if you ask somebody on the street, you ever hear of Jerry Blabbitt or the Geeter with the heater? They say, yeah, I've heard of him. So it worked. It worked. If everybody in town knows your name.
He was influential to so many DJs. It's not just playing the music and picking the music and playing from the heart and not the research chart, but just in presentation, how to entertain a crowd, being an all-around entertainer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then going back to Jason, I want to ask you a question. And also, Jeff, because you all, you know, younger, What was it like? You got your start with Jerry Blava, but how did you develop this taste for this music, the Motown music? Obviously, it's before you were born. Some of this stuff came out. How'd you develop that?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I used to watch his show religiously when it was on Channel 29 back in the early 70s, and then it went on Channel 17, I believe it was, in the late 70s, early 80s.
Right. It was more like a disco show at that time.
He did the
Discophonic TV singing, I believe it was.
Yeah, a new version of it. Mm-hmm. And I would listen to him, just learning about the music constantly, because, it was just really interesting to learn because I loved the music so much. It was like, to me, he was one of the best there was. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to legends.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Jason? How'd you develop your love for this music?
So, you are a product of your environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
My parents were really into oldies music. I mean, they used to take me to concerts at the Valley Forge Music Fair. I remember seeing the Temptations and the Four Tops mm-hmm. at the Valley Forge Music Fair, mm-hmm. which, by the way, to me is still the best venue that we ever had in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
In the round, the stage spun very slowly, not a bad seat in the place. So I grew up loving this music. In fact, I told Jerry this story when he hired me. He put me on the air as a 12-year-old. I called him up as a 12-year-old to request a song. Mm-hmm. I was a PGR listener mm-hmm. as a kid. Mm-hmm. So I called him up and mm-hmm. I am 12 or 13 years old. And I forget what song I requested, but he couldn't believe that this 12, 13-year-old kid requested like Danny and the Juniors or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And he put me on the air and we talked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't have to learn the music. I already loved the music. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was born in 1973, but mm-hmm. I'm loving songs from the, the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. And because it's great music. And I had such a blast playing it on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot of the great Motown. And then the B-sides and the album tracks. Jeff, what albums do you have? You got a couple of Jerry's things there.
One of his albums that he did, it was the one he did, the Discophonic Scene album.
Okay, is that a live album? Or
I believe it's just the music on it, but mm-hmm. it had a lot of the great songs that he ended up mm-hmm. putting on his CDs later. And this one right here he did with... Harvey Holiday.
Look at you both. Hey, that's awesome. Awesome. Look at this.
Right on the money, bud.
Right on the money. Yes, yes, yes.
And I was like 14, 15 years old when mm-hmm. I got this, and I couldn't stop playing it enough mm-hmm. because every song was as good as the next.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of his albums, really, he mm-hmm. he always had good music on mm-hmm. it.
For Lovers Only albums, he had great. Yeah.
Teenagers Only.
Mm-hmm. Right. There it is. Yeah. Beyond Teenagers, right.
Now, what label is that on? Is that Lost Night?
Yeah, Jason? Lost Night. Yeah, Lost Night.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff, man. What else?
I got for Lovers Only here, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. For Lovers Only, got the pictures on the album. And people, the younger kids coming up today don't realize, they would go to these record hops or they would turn on the radio to hear the music, but it wasn't just the music. They want to hear the DJ. It was about the personality.
Right.
It's so different from today.
Right.
We were mentioning it earlier that the personalities just don't seem to be relevant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was called, we used to call it theater of the mind in those times. You would put a picture in the mind of people listening to you, creating a vibe, an image. When you're talking about the music, you would mention, like Jeff was earlier, about knowing all the different artists in the group. Like instead of just the Temptations, mm-hmm. you mentioned Eddie Kendricks and mm-hmm. David Ruff mm-hmm. and, things like Paul Williams and mm-hmm. all those kind of guys. You got to learn the music that mm-hmm. way. So, mm-hmm. but then as the years went by and consultants started taking over and influencing programmers in how to attract listeners, because there was always the love, hate, it's always less is more. See, some people think the more you talk, you're more of a personality. That's not really the case. It's getting to the point and getting out. If you can make your point in 10 seconds versus talking for 30 seconds, you're doing a much better job. And that's, mm-hmm. that was really the secret of top 40 radio, what people call about hitting the post and stuff. It was about getting to your point where the vocals would come in, make it concise, but don't just keep talking and talking.
We're talking about personalities and personality radio and, how much different it is today than it was back in the day, because people actually tuned in to hear the personality and right. to hear about some of the things that were happening, some of the club dates that were going on, some of the concerts were going on. Remember we had Record Hops back then?
Oh yeah.
And that was when an artist was in town to do a performance, maybe at a bigger venue. Then they would stop by each DJ's venue, whether it be High Lit or Jerry Blavitt right. or, you know, Georgie Woods or whoever was, you know, wherever area they were in. So
right.
let's talk a bit about those personalities and how the personality radio was back then.
Well, you know, I told you a story once before. I'll tell you a real quick one because I want Jason to talk about personalities too, mm-hmm. because he's been through it too. As he mentioned,
absolutely.
You know, with personality radio on WPGR and then being on a radio station where they wanted him to basically be a card reader. Mm-hmm. But the personalities and the artists were always a great combination. When you knew them and they knew you, it was always great. They knew you were playing their music. And when they would come to town, so they would visit the various radio stations. So I was lucky enough to meet Smokey Robinson. He came into WPGR at one time. Mm-hmm. He was actually going down the hall to our FM.
I love the story, Tommy.
Yeah,
I love it.
You've heard this
yeah.
before?
Yeah, it's a great story.
Okay, so I'll make it the 45 RPM version instead of the 12-inch disco version of it. So anyhow, they're bringing him down the hall to do the interview on the quote-unquote FM because it's FM radio, you know, and that's where they were going to promote it. But as Smokey's walking down the hallway, you could hear the music that we were playing on WPGR bleeding into the hallway there. Not loud, but you could hear it if you were trying to listen or if it was quiet in the hall. So the receptionist is bringing him down the hall and he's passing my door. I happen to be the lucky one on the air at that time. It's a shame there was no iPhones at that time, so I don't have a picture of it and I didn't have a cassette tape running to tape it, but he stayed with me for an hour in the studio. Mm-hmm. He came down. He heard whatever song it was I was playing at the time. I do not remember, but it caught his ear. And he pushes the door open slightly, and I turn around and I said, "Smokey Robinson." Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it because I didn't know he was coming to do the station mm-hmm. for the interview. I would have brought a camera in that mm-hmm. morning for sure, even just to get a picture. So he says, "Man, what are you playing?" So I told him, and we had the music was in these cart racks. If you're familiar with a radio station, you've got the cart racks. And he's looking, and he's spinning the cart rack around, looking at these titles on our carts. And he's going, "Man, I haven't heard these songs." So he stayed in for an hour and answered some phones, took some requests for people. And I was talking to him about Motown B-sides in Philadelphia. They're just as popular as A-sides where other towns aren't even playing it. Songs like "Would I Love You" is a B-side and "I've Been Good to You" and "What's So Good About Goodbye." And he was like, "Wow, you guys are blowing me away with this stuff." So that's the short version of it. But that's how lucky we were at times being on the radio when artists would come through. Not people who lived, because the Philly artists were always dropping in the studio. Billy Horner would come over, Billy Carlucci, Junior Perillo with the 4Js, you name it. They were coming into the Kenny Jeremiah with the Soul Survivors, mm-hmm. all friends of mine, personal mm-hmm. friends of mine. But when the national guys who were from other cities like Motown or from L.A. or whatever, the Beach Boys came in. Mike Love hung out in the studio with me one day taking calls, and it was just great time. But Jason, of course, could address the thing about somebody being a personality on the radio mm-hmm. or somebody who just keeps talking and it becomes what they call a tune out and it's mm-hmm. a button pusher.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Jason?
Yeah, a personality has pretty much gone away. And it's sad because, mm-hmm. you know, I've always said that the thing that separates terrestrial radio from every other option out there is the ability to be live and local and to connect with the listener. And for some reason, radio doesn't do that anymore. And you know, radio, I mean, a lot of people say radio is dying. I'm not going to go that far, mm-hmm. but I do think radio is hurting. And I think the wounds are self-inflicted mm-hmm. because these so-called radio executives don't understand that the way you win in this business is by making a connection through the microphone, through that speaker to the listener, whether in their car, in their home, in the office, whatever. And personality is gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I've worked for stations where they tell us basically, listen, you know, no more than 10 to 12 seconds over an intro, no more than two or three sentences over an intro. Or if we can, going into a commercial break, they'll let us do a piece of content, a fun piece of content, but no more than 20, 25 seconds. Mm-hmm. And okay, how can you be compelling mm-hmm. and entertaining in 20 or 25 mm-hmm. seconds? Now, I did the best I could, mm-hmm. you know, But it's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to make that connection. And these days, it's even worse because there's voice tracking. So the DJs you hear on the air are pre-recorded in a lot of cases. And in a lot of cases, they're pre-recorded from hundreds or thousands of miles away.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And and you can't make a connection with the local market with somebody who's tracking from halfway across the country. I mean, I'll give you an example. I don't want to mention the station. Don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but there's a midday jock in this town who's tracked from Dallas. And the jock is very good. And the jock actually looks for Philadelphia content to use in the presentation, which a lot of voice trackers don't do. A lot of voice trackers, you know, their break and go on the air in Chicago or in Philly, and it doesn't matter. It could be the same exact break and it doesn't matter. But this one jock actually looks for Philly content. But then when you go onto this jock's social media, you see the jock tailgating before a Dallas Cowboys game. And that's not going to play well in Philadelphia.
It won't work.
No, not in this time.
Especially not this time either.
No, exactly.
So it's a shame. I mean, I still love radio, as I know all you guys do. It's in our blood, not to be cliche, but it is in our blood. We love it. But I think it's safe to say we don't like what the business has become.
And there's a lot of competition from the new media, too. You know, everybody has a podcast, you know, all of this stuff.
Internet radio, there's everything out there. Sirius XM, then you've got the HD channels, HD1, HD2, HD, goes up to, I think, four channels. I know at OGL, when I was there, I was programming our HD2 at the time as an all 70s channel. And then HD3, we were playing Phillies games year-round. We were replaying all the Phillies games from the season on HD3.
And certain years, that wasn't very good.
No, that was tough to fill time with that. And then HD4 at the time, before they got an FM signal, we were carrying KYW News Radio on HD4. Now, how many people have HD radios and even know how to track into a HD 2, 3, and a 4? I mean, that's the other side of that.
Well, I thank you guys for coming down and sharing this history. I mean, of course, you know, we want to continue to celebrate the legacy of the Geeter with the Heater, Jerry Blavitt. And he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I believe it was in 1998. Was he the first one of the first DJs to actually be in that Hall of Fame?
Yes, and I think that was the first induction where they put people like him, Alan Freed, you know, people. I don't know. I don't have the list of all the people, but it was at that time.
So, but I want to thank you gentlemen very much for this, doing this for the living legend, the legendary one.
The man with the plan.
The man with the plan. So influential to so many DJs, including myself and Jammin' Jeff, and of course, Tommy McCarthy. And
I think it's safe to say, Tim, if I could just, I don't mean to cut you off, but I think it's safe to say, we will never see or hear another person like the Geeter again.
No, never.
Never, ever again.
No.
He's one of a kind.
Exactly.
No question about it. So I wish you much success, all of you. And Jason, why don't you tell us some of where you're at now? You're at a couple of different stations, right?
How much time you got?
You're everywhere. You know, I know you're on the radio today, right?
So, okay. So let's see. I am, I work at PHL 17. I produce the morning news. I also have my own little sports show on Wednesday nights at 9:30 called The Sports Scene. Okay. So you have Wednesdays at 9:30. Please watch. I do pop up on the morning news from time to time, doing weather or traffic tomorrow. I'm going to be talking to the great Tommy McCarthy as we do our own tribute to the Geeter. I also do traffic on the radio from this microphone here in my basement for stations in Philly, Harrisburg, and Lancaster for Afternoon Drive. And I've been doing weekends at oldiesxl.com, internet radio station. But going back to what we were saying, it's they let me be a personality. And I have such a a great time there. I love it. So that's what I'm doing.
You have that great personality. So much success. Keep on keeping on. Thank you again, Jason Lee, for being part of the show here today.
My pleasure.
I want to thank you, Jammin' Jeff Wyman. Always great to have you with us. We did some parties and some weddings recently, didn't we?
Yes, you know, we did. Get out we there. Had a lot of fun doing
yes,
it.
Yes, and
too.
I know. I'm telling you, they're still raving about those things and some of the club dates and things that we've done over the years. Been together long. How many years we've been working together?
We've been doing things since the late 90s or early 2000s.
Wow.
Yeah,
long time.
Yep.
One of our favorite things that we always talk about is when we worked with Richard Street. We did a benefit with the Linda Creed Foundation, and Richard Street came out and he was trying to do a song, and he ended up singing over it, "Hey Girl, I Like Your Style." Mm-hmm. And everybody was trying to get their cameras going. Mm-hmm. Everybody had dead batteries.
Mm-hmm. This was in the 90s. So we had VCRs. Yeah. And stuff. We didn't have phones and things like that. So that was that period of time. And know. Everybody, as soon as he started doing that, that was the song or the speech, it got cut off. Everybody's camera went off at the same time.
Yeah, at the same time. Yeah. So you have to remember it in your head that whole night.
That was definitely something to treasure, though. But thanks again, Jam and Jeff.
Thank you.
And of course, Tommy McCarthy, always good to have you here on the show, man.
My pleasure, buddy. Great to see you, Tim. Thank you.
And of course,
Jam and Jeff and Jason the Music Mason, my man, Pots and Pans.
Mm-hmm. Always a pleasure, Tommy. Always a pleasure.
We'll continue to do it for the big boss with the hot sauce, the geeter with the heater, Jerry Blavitt. Thank you all. I'm Tim Marshall, and thank you for joining us for R&B Showcase.